up, bro?
Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
I'm good, man.
Good.
I mean, just trying to make the best out of things, but yeah, I'm just home with the family. So that's fun.
Is that the kids in the back?
Yeah, I'm just giving you 1 second. Yeah,
sure, take your time.
All right, Benjamin, mommy's gonna put this on upstairs, okay? You guys have to go upstairs. Daddy has to do some work with Uncle Steven, okay?
Hello, and welcome back to my brand new podcast, Hidden Narratives, brought to you by Watcher Entertainment. I'm your host, Stephen Lim, and on this show, we will be sharing untold stories of Asian Americans, where the first few episodes will be focused on those that have been drastically impacted by the coronavirus. On our episode last week, we spoke to my friend Dookie Hong on the night he decided to close all three of his restaurants indefinitely in the San Francisco Bay Area region. Here is his reasoning for shutting down.
I can deal with, it sucks and it's heartbreaking to know that one of my guys or 27 of my guys won't get a paycheck. It'll hit them financially. What I don't think and what made me ultimately make that decision was I don't think I can cope with the fact that I got somebody sick because they came to work or they took public transportation. And let me just put that out there. I'm not knocking my friends and, you know, even your friend, a lot of our mutual friends that are doing the delivery and doing the hustle. I just ask that you do it safely. Think about every measure, even more so now. But for me, I'm too scared, if you want to put it that way.
And today, I will be talking to one of those chefs who decided to keep his business open. Not only that, but he's doing so in what is now being considered the new epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic, New York City. Now, the reason I wanted to kick this podcast off with two stories from two different restaurants is because, well, first of all, I do have a close emotional connection to the food industry. I've had the privilege through hosting a food show of getting to know hundreds of people all around the world who operate restaurants. Secondly, I do feel like restaurants have a very difficult decision to make right now. Is it irresponsible to stay open? Or is it their duty to provide food for people? To be honest, I don't know if there is a right or wrong decision here. All I can do is speak to these people and hear their stories. So, coming up in today's episode, I'll be chatting with my good friend, Jimmy Lee. He is the chef and owner of Madame Vo and Madame Vo Barbecue in the East Village. This conversation happened about a week after Governor Cuomo issued a shelter in place in New York due to the exponential growth of the virus. Jimmy goes into detail about why he feels compelled to keep his doors open right now, and also about the greater impact the coronavirus has had on the Asian restaurant community in New York. Jimmy, thank you for sharing your story, and I hope that those listening can gain a little more compassion, a little more empathy, and a little more understanding. Anyway, please subscribe to this podcast so we can continue to share these stories. And without further ado, I present to you my conversation with Chef Jimmy Lee. Hey, Jimmy, thanks so much for jumping on the call with me. First, for people who don't know who you are, can you share a bit of background about yourself?
Of course. We're based out in New York City. I'm the chef and owner of Madame Vo and just recently opened Madame Vo Barbecue out in the East Village. We're mainly a Vietnamese homestyle restaurant.
And I will personally shamelessly plug your restaurant. You have amazing food. And before we get too far into it, I wanted to check in with you. How are you doing?
Holding up, just trying to make the best out of it, but not so good.
I'm really sorry to hear that. I think we were talking the other day and you were saying that you're keeping your restaurant open?
Yes, correct.
Do you mind sharing a bit of context about that? So it's currently March 24th, the date that we're recording this, and New York City has just been considered an epicenter for the pandemic.
Correct.
They've actually shut down, non-essential businesses and all dining in restaurants. Yep. And so I know it's been a very difficult time for you, but what went into your decision to keep serving people and running a restaurant, doing delivery and takeout?
You know, at the end of the day, it's about our staff. We feed a lot of families. We never asked anybody to do anything they didn't want to do because we're all aware of the consequences and what's going on in the world and what's going on in our great city. Mm. But they all know that the reason why I'm staying open is because we don't have corporate funding. Mm. We don't have that kind of money. And to close, we don't know if we can open again.
So just to clarify, the staff that you're working with right now, are those all volunteers? They're all people that said, I want to work, I need to work, and I'm willing to take the risk of getting sick.
Correct. You know, I never force anybody. I had a talk with them. I said, think about it. If you guys feel uncomfortable about this, like, please, you're not fired, but this is just temporary. You guys are going to have to stay home and wait it out and see what happens. Mm. Because obviously there's so many questions that everybody's probably asking. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen next month, right? I know a lot of people in my staff are living paycheck to paycheck.
Right, because it's a choice between their livelihood and their safety. Because it's not about, at this point, it's not about you and your wife, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not making money. I'm guessing you're losing money from this endeavor.
I mean, correct. I mean, me and my wife, we have two boys. And, you know, God forbid if anything happened to me or her, it's the last thing we want to think about. But I also have an obligation to my staff as their employer, as their boss, as their friend, because at this time, like, it's really difficult for people to look for a job. I'm pretty sure nobody's hiring right now. Mm-hmm. Or even if this blows over, everybody's going to be applying for a job. At the end of the day, it's just I want to take care of the people that took care of me.
For sure.
Yeah.
I do want to ask about the operation. Obviously, you've made this very difficult decision to stay open. What are you doing to make sure that you're keeping your staff as safe as possible?
You know, fortunately, my dad has a couple masks stored. So I provided masks for all of my staff, not N95s, but just the regular hospital masks. And we took the proper measures to sanitize the restaurant. We have Clorox wipes, we have sanitizer, we have bleach, gloves, and come in, wash your hands thoroughly, 20 seconds with hot water and disinfect. I had a meeting with my staff and, you know, some of them don't watch the news. Some of them don't speak English as well. And, you know, just for us just to be responsible employers, we have educated our staff and brought to their attention how important this pandemic is.
Mm-hmm. And in the kitchen, I know New York City kitchens especially are very tight. So this practice of social distancing is a bit more challenging there.
Yes.
How are you guys handling that?
So right now, usually I have four people on my line. Now we just have one person on the line and one person downstairs prepping. And we have our manager, which is amazing. He's just outside picking up the phones. We have a table in front of our front door to block people from coming in. Hmm. And we put a sign on the table. Just please pick up your order here or please wait for us to take your order. Hmm. We're really trying to limit contact as much as we can. Most of our orders are being taken on Caviar, on Seamless, so delivery guys just come in. So we just tape their order number and we leave it on the bag so they come in. And my manager is just like from across the hall, what number is your order? And then he just looks at it and he's like, oh, that's your order. Thank you. When people do come in to order, which we're very fortunate, we have Clorox wipes, hand sanitizer right there. So when they order, people tend to pay with a credit card or cash. We leave the disinfect for them to wipe their cards after we swipe. And then like every time. It's gotten to a point where it's a way of life now, which is kind of weird for us, but it's just something that we have to do.
So it does sound like you are minimizing contact as much as possible and to the point where you're trusting the big delivery guys like Caviar to make sure they're managing their protocol well when they hand the food off to the people that order it.
Correct.
I mean, that's good. I thought you guys were delivering them by hand and I was really worried that you were getting on the subway. And I don't know. I just, in preparation for this call, I was just trying to imagine what it would look like.
I mean, we have a friend, like she owns several Japanese restaurants in the East Village and she's making deliveries on her own. And I was like, wow, she is a beast. Like she took her company car. She has a driver and she's going and she's dropping off orders. And like, I respect her so much for that. But I was just a little bit concerned. I reached out to her. I said, hey, I don't think this is feasible. You know, I don't think that this is a good look right now. I know you're trying your best, but I wouldn't do that. I have kids, so I'm just thinking about that.
How did she respond?
She was like, no, thank you for reaching out. I realized this since the past week that I'm making deliveries. And she just shut down her entire operation because she realized how scary it was. Mm. So as of today, she closed all her restaurants.
Wow.
Yeah.
For you, have you thought about that? At what point do you close the restaurant?
You know, I've been thinking about it every night. I haven't been sleeping for the past week because I don't know what's going to happen. It's daunting. It's scary. Right now, like, we're going to fight. We're trying to build that revenue stream up. as a New Yorker, we were just on Caviar while we were doing normal operations. Now we're signed up for Postmates, Grubhub, DoorDash, Uber Eats. Like, we literally signed contracts with all of these vendors. As a business owner, I'm trying to be proactive about it. I mean, our friends at 886, they're amazing. You know, you've been to 886, you know, Eric.
Yeah.
They're getting donations to feed staff in the health industry, in hospitals. Wow. I definitely wanted to do something like that, but I'm quite frankly afraid to go to hospitals.
Yeah, and I hate asking this question, but I think I have to because it's a real possibility. But what would you do if you, your wife, or one of your staff contracted the coronavirus?
Oh my God. I mean, I would shut it down. That's it. The last thing I want is for anyone in my team or anyone outside to get this. I mean, I did think about this. I always think about the worst case scenario before I think of the best case scenario. If that would ever happen, we would shut it down and that would be out of my hands by that point. That's it. It's not worth it anymore. I mean, I don't think that's the answer that people want to hear, but it is what it is.
Yeah. You're in the middle of New York City, like right in the heart of it. The whole city has been criticized recently by government officials, Cuomo in particular, the mayor, that they're not staying indoors. They're not taking this seriously. Is it something that you think about how New York's handling this? Because I do see one side of it, which is we're New York. We can get through anything. We have the grit. We fight through it and we can make things work. But the other end, if people don't stay home, then there's been a lot of data that they're ending other people's lives. I'm just curious, kind of, you have the pulse kind of being in the city. How have you seen people react and what do you think about that?
I mean, as of last week, it was pretty serious already. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were still out and I was upset. You know, I'm fortunate I don't have to take public transportation, but I'm driving to work and I'm seeing all these people out and it just really makes me boil. I'm just like, why are you out on these streets, you know? And then yesterday we were off. I was home all day. Today, I had to go to work. I drove out and like people are responding differently now because of the cases and the rate of people getting infected. The city was dead. I mean, I live in Queens and on a regular day due to traffic and stuff, it takes me an hour and 15 minutes to get out to work. It took me 12 minutes to get to work today. So I see it, you know, people are becoming more and more scared, you know.
Yeah. And I think around the nation, I don't know if you've seen like photos of people at Miami Beach, people in California, people who aren't taking it seriously. Do you have any thoughts about, or I don't know, just things that you'd want to say to them right now?
I mean, dude, like it's common sense. I think people are just being super fucking selfish right now. Most people I hear like, oh, I'm young. If I get it, like whatever, I'm going to be fine. But like, dude, your mom's not going to be fine. Your grandma's not going to be fine. Like, I don't know who you live with, your uncle, your dad, but I feel like you see all the Asian countries, Japan, China, you know, they dealt with this so well because people listen. Everybody is with the program. And here it's just like our president's not helping. You know, he's out here talking smack about Asian Chinese people and creating all of this drama and this racism here. He's creating all of this. And your leader is an idiot. All these people, I don't know, they follow, I guess. That's how I feel about it.
That's a good point. And one thing that I did see in the Times recently was Asian-owned businesses back before the coronavirus hit New York were getting hit pretty hard. I haven't really seen that much data to back it up that Asian-owned businesses were hit harder than others. But you're in New York and I know you have family that owned businesses in Chinatown. Did you see that impact? This was back in like January and February.
Yeah. So, you know, my dad has a lot of friends in Chinatown in the city, Manhattan, and the Chinatown area in Flushing here. Like this coronavirus kind of ended our Chinese New Year celebrations. And like all the businesses in Chinatown felt it. Basically, people were just being really ignorant. And there was a point when the mayor and congressmen were coming out and was like, hey, support Chinatown. You know, everybody took about a 65 to 70% drop in business because the coronavirus scare in Asia and all of that at the time. And people were like, oh, I'm not going to eat at this Chinese restaurant because I'm going to get coronavirus. I was like, that's so ignorant. This was before all of this shutdown and all of this. This is like 3 weeks ago. And I just felt awful. I didn't know how to help them, and it was just bad.
And just to clarify, because I think people were saying, oh, coronavirus hit everybody, but it sounds like even you guys weren't hit as hard as the restaurants in Chinatown.
No, like, honestly, like, we didn't really feel it until the beginning of March. I mean, we took a 25% drop. We're just like, okay, you know, it's probably the economy, or, you know, we're just trying to be optimistic as we can. We're like, okay, whatever. It wasn't an issue until March 8th. That was a week before it was mandated. And we felt it the most. We were just like, holy shit, like, you know, me and my wife, we have conversations, and we know things are going to get worse until things get better.
Yeah. I saw that Governor Cuomo said that the city could be battling the coronavirus for the next 4 to even 9 months. And I'm wondering, at this rate, what will you do if New York announces a total shutdown of the city, including delivery and takeout, which would include your business?
I mean, that's it. You know, if that's the case, I might have to think about a career change. I mean, most restaurant owners, like, for you to bounce back from this, it takes a lot of capital, a lot of energy, a lot of money. Just, it takes a lot. And I know that after all of this, people are going to be broke, and we're probably going to go into a Great Depression worse than the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. And as a restaurant owner, it's scary because, let's say, in an idealistic world, all this is over and then you reopen. The reality is people are not going to go out to eat anymore. Mm-hmm. People are trying to figure out how to make their next mortgage payment. There's no more disposable income. I mean, unless you're the 1%, then you're fine. But for the rest of America and the rest of us, we know that eating out at a restaurant is not something you're going to think about.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you've thought about that quite a bit, and I just wonder, how does that make you feel?
To be honest with you, Steven, like, it hurts just thinking about it. Like, it would make me tear, because, you know, we worked so hard for everything, and we worked so hard to be where we are, and, like, just for all of it to just go to shit like this, it's just unfair for everybody. No one ever foresaw this. You know, there's no insurance or business interruption insurance for this. Like, I'm sorry, you know, it's really emotional. It just, you know, like, I know a lot of people put all their heart, sweat, blood, and tears into their business, and it's not anybody's fault. You can't blame anybody. It's just an act of God. So you're just, you don't know what to do. And for many of us, and I can speak for most of the people who are in my shoes, we're just lost, and we're in limbo, and we're just trying to figure out what's going to happen. And all we can do right now is just have hope and just keep on working for what you believe in. And that's where I stand right now. You know, I have all these questions, and I know that nobody can answer me. And then they're talking about bailouts, and we're small businesses, you know, for bailouts are like the airlines and like these major, major corporations. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I feel that people don't give a fuck, you know, about this, the little guys or the small businesses, as much as the airlines and the big hospitality groups and stuff. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah. I just want to interject, and I'm not a journalist, so I can just break journalistic integrity here. But, you know, when I went to Madame Vo for the first time, you really, really had an impact on me, you know, with your hospitality, with your food. I could tell how much you cared about not just the restaurant, but the staff, your customers, the food. It was really special. And I think that's why we became friends over time too, was because I kept coming back and wanting to experience the love that you and your wife poured into the restaurant and all your staff.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot, man.
I mean, it is crazy to think that there is a possibility that Madame Vo could be no more. And I'm just curious, if you were to share, what does Madame Vo mean to you? What is the theme of your career and building that restaurant?
I mean, Madame Vo means family to me. And we wouldn't be where we are today without the support from everybody that is a part of the Madame Vo family, and which we built. And it was really the bridge for me to connect with people that share the same interests. And like, food brought everything together. Mm-hmm. But I never forgot the first time I met you as well. Because I remember you came in to eat and I was in the kitchen and one of my waiters came in and was like, I think Steven Lim is out there. And I was like, what? And I was like, you know, me being a huge fan, I was geeking out. I was like, hey, what's going on? What's up, bro? Like, thank you for coming to eat here. Remember that? And then, I mean, we connected through food. We just started off this amazing friendship. So, like, it was awesome.
For sure. Well, I want to send my love to you, your wife, your family, your staff who are still working, your staff who aren't working, and, you know, the city of New York. Looks like right now is about to be a very critical time. So, please stay safe.
No, you as well, man. Thank you for what you do, man, and just letting me be a part of this. And you're just a huge catalyst for greatness for everyone. So Thank you for that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I just wanted to go through a few of my reflections from that conversation. I'm recording this right after we hung up. You know, going into this conversation, I was talking to him and hearing about how he was still open, and I was really nervous and scared for his life, for his staff's life. But after talking to him more and more, I think the thing I realized is just that I get it. It's not for himself. It's not for his business. It's not for the money. It's for his staff. And that is the thing that I've seen as the common theme. How do you take care of your staff the best? Is it to close shop so that they don't have to be exposed to other people? Or is it to stay open so that they can make money and pay rent that is due next week? It's a really tough situation to be in, and I don't know what the right decision is. But I do want to say thank you so much to the people out there on the front lines. The people who are in hospitals, grocery stores, restaurants, and so many more. Thank you for serving the country and serving each other. Well, that is it. But before we go, please rate us 5 stars for wherever you listen to this podcast, which could be on Apple, Spotify, and finally, subscribe, because that will help us to shed light on the hidden narratives during this pandemic, giving a voice to those who need it the most. Thank you, and chat soon.